Our first reading and our gospel reading today deal with similar topics, not quite the same, but similar, and I think it's good for us to stop and contemplate a little bit about what we're being told. We hear from Ezekiel, the Son of Man has been set aside, so God's speaking to Ezekiel, and he's essentially called to what we would commonly call fraternal correction, of when we see somebody that is living in a manner that is either hurtful to himself, herself, or others, that we have a certain responsibility to let them know that and to speak a word of truth to them to try to draw them back to what it is that God calls that person to do. And that is admittedly a very difficult thing and something that I think we need to deal cautiously with. Remember that Jesus warned those who have a plank in their own eye to watch how they speak about the splinter in another person's eye. And we're also called to be mindful and to remember that whatever we do and speak to another needs to be, as St. Paul says, out of love. I think there can be two temptations in the call to draw another person back. And one is a temptation to just speak the truth as if, however we want to do that, and walk away. And it's important for us to remember that truth without charity is just a bludgeon in a way that we beat on people. The opposite, though, is also true, that we can just grow silent and not say anything because it's an easier path. And it really does nothing to restore the other person to wholeness, particularly when they're hurting themselves or other people. I point that out, but the main thing I just want to say about that idea of sitting down with another and inviting them into a contemplation of how it is that they're called, that at the heart of what is said today is that, my brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility for one another. And so often we can look at our faith as something that is just about what it is that we do, our own call to holiness, how we live that out, what it is that we are about in terms of movement towards our relationship with God and salvation. And to see that as something that's really just about me and my relationship with God, and that I'm not or don't need to be all that concerned about the people that are around me. But we are called to get one another to heaven. We're in this together. That's true in our vocations, our closest vocation. Spouses are called to get one another and their children to heaven, to do what they can. Priests, religious, lay people, anybody, all of us are called to try to bring one another before the throne. Because the truth of the matter is that you and I are not going to make it by ourselves. We need other people to help us. Sometimes we need other people to grab us by the belt and drag us kicking and screaming before the Lord. But we can never look upon our lives of faith as something that we just do for ourselves. That we really do have a responsibility for those that are around us, in our families, in the Christian community. All of us are called to be concerned about the well-being and the salvation of others. In many ways, that is what it means to be church, to be about one another. In our gospel reading, we hear something that sounds very similar, but it's a little bit different, because Jesus says to his disciples that if they are aware of a brother that has sinned against them, And then he starts to outline how they are to talk. And so this is less about seeing somebody that is hurting necessarily themselves or other people, but it really does deal with the questions of how we deal with one another in sin and reconciliation and forgiveness. And that too, I think, is a challenge that we need to really sit with and can be difficult with, for us. In my life, as a priest personnel director, I spend a lot of time hearing people talk about their priests, sometimes not so nicely. And sometimes in those conversations when somebody has talked to me, I just simply ask the question, have you tried to talk to your priest at all? And very often the answer to that is no. And there's no desire to have that conversation. And I do realize that there are times where it's not appropriate to do that. That's what I'm there for. But our gospel reading reminds us that our ultimate goal in the experience of hurt and division is to strive after relationship. And if we're going to do that, then that begins with an honest conversation between people out of love. I think very often when we find ourselves hurt, when we feel that we have been wounded by another, our first response is to run out and talk to other people about it. And we can look at that and try and offer the excuse that, well, I'm going out to get help and support from the people around me, when what we're really doing is going out and trying to tell everybody just how wounded and wronged I have been and how terrible the other person is. And what we're really about is trying to rally our own troops around ourselves and what it is that the ways in which we've been wounded. And I think we need to be, the gospel today should really caution us with that, because that has an incredible power to drop a bomb in the experience of family and in the experience of community. We really need to strive to seek out reconciliation with the person first. I talk to young couples that are getting ready to get married, and one of the things I do talk to them about and caution them about is how they speak to their own families about their spouse, and to be prudent in what it is that they decide that they're going to share. Because it is easy to go out and talk all sorts of stuff about how we feel about the other. The problem is the day comes where I find myself reconciled with the other person, but I've made everybody else so upset that there's a chasm that is very difficult to overcome in relationship. Jesus tells us, if you are aware that another has sinned against you, go to that person and that person alone and seek reconciliation. If that doesn't go anywhere, then okay. Call others that might help bring about reconciliation. But the point is not to try to say why the other person is wrong. The point is about trying to reconcile and restore communion, relationship within the family, within the church, within the community. And what I'd like to leave us with is that when it comes to our relationships with others, we really do need to be cautious about how we speak. That we speak in a manner that always tries to restore common life and community. That even when we're disagreeing, that we try to do that in a manner that recognizes the dignity of the other person. that seeks not just to lash out and make somebody hurt as much as I feel like they have hurt me, but instead to really try to rebuild trust in a way to walk with the other that begins in many ways with our words. How do we choose to speak of the other, whether that is in conversation with them ourselves or whether that is the way that we speak to about others, to our family and our friends? Christ reminds us that at the heart of discovering ourselves and the heart of our movement towards salvation is community, is the ways in which I am reflected back to myself by how others see, love, and nurture me. And then I am called to do the exact same thing. And then in striving to do that, not that always finds an easy path, but that in striving to speak well, that I strive first of all to be about that and not just myself. That I strive first of all to be an instrument of community and peace in my relationships. And in doing that, strive to recognize God's own call in my day-to-day life that leads me to Him. Amen.